You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
A dinosaur brain, stop shooting so many threes, I think goes down as an all-time line from Brian Scalabrine. I would imagine that if Paul Pierce and or Rajon Rondo said that to Giannis, it would probably include a couple words that we're not allowed to say on the show.
I agree. I was interesting that you thought it would be Garnett, so did I. And he was like, no, never Garnett. And I'm like, wow, really? Like Rondo, I could totally see. I've heard that about Rondo also, that like on the court tends to be kind of like very serious, but would like has a lot to say in practice about stuff. Pierce, kind of interesting. Just the paths these players have all also taken since playing together on this team is relatively wild too.
Yes, Paul Pierce went from criticizing players for the poor decisions they make on the court to making poor decisions off the court. Everyone right. From saying, hey, dinosaur brain, stop shooting threes, to hey, Monica, what are you doing? Please come through. So right. Good stuff there from the truth, Paul Pierce. Okay, with that in tow, it's now time, Ken, for you and I together. Usually it's a solo trip. This time it's me and you together, backpacking through Europe. Euro Cup 2020 in 2021. Our bets for Tuesday and analysis from what we've seen coming up right now.
Are you ready? Nick travels around the world to find you a soccer winner. It's time for Nicky Football Soccer Bets here on You Better You Bet. Goal!
Oh, it's summer. Excited. Your bet's been going great.
You've been doing great. You've been winning a lot.
Plus 180.
Yeah.
And I had Sweden plus 1.5 against Spain. You know how that makes me feel? All right. Before we get to Tuesday's games, Group F, the group of death. Have some thoughts from what we saw this weekend. Curious, Ken, if you have takes on what I'm saying, please feel free to chime in. I want to start, and I think you were tweeting about this. I could be wrong, but I know you had a strong take on the Netherlands heading into the tournament, which is a team that we think, yes, can obviously come out of the group because of the weakness of the group, maybe make it to the quarterfinals, but their run would end there. Now, they beat Ukraine 3-2 in what was a massively entertaining game, maybe the best game that we've seen thus far in the tournament. Netherlands 0-0 at halftime. Netherlands go up 2-0. Ukraine come back to tie it in the span of a couple minutes, including a stunner by Yarmolenko, which is we know we saw a great goal earlier today by the Czech Republic. The Yarmolenko goal was absolutely outstanding as well. A howler from outside the box. And then just shocking defending by the Ukraine as Netherlands eke out a late 3-2 winner to capture all 3 points. So honestly, I walked away from that game, Ken, thinking, and I know you had both teams to score, so you cashed on that game. Like, great. Like, the Netherlands won. I feel like Ukraine absolutely gave them that game. I don't want to say I feel better about the Ukraine than I did going into the tournament, because their defending was, it's not like none of the goals the Netherlands scored were particularly impressive. It's defensive miscues, keeper miscues. So I don't want to say, like, I like Ukraine, but I think what it may do is provide us with opportunities to bet overs in Ukraine games if A, they're able to score, and B, the defense and the goalkeeping is going to be so bad. Great on the Netherlands for winning. Congratulations to Frank de Boer and company that they were able to win. Wijnaldum with a great goal. I do not feel good, Ken, about the Dutch after this performance. I did not feel like they were like worthy and deserved winners of the game.
Yeah, I think it was more about the Dutch and their style than Ukraine necessarily. I like to look at the expected goals afterwards just to see, like, it's not necessarily predictive, but it's just kind of interesting, right? Based on the score, you know, you had Spain today, because it's so funny you were bringing up that match. That's actually like the last thing I was going to bring up. Yeah, there were the expected goals in Spain, Sweden was, do you want to try to guess what the combined expected goals were in that match?
Well, Sweden should have scored like at least 2 goals, and like Spain probably should have scored like 5 or 6.
Yeah, I mean, for expected goals, an insanely high number, 3.8 combined expected goals in that, which is like wild, and a higher number actually than what we saw in Netherlands and Ukraine, where Ukraine's expected goals in that match was 0.63. So it might have been more like stylistic with the Netherlands necessarily. I think that just speaks to like the quality of the chances that Ukraine had, as opposed to like the Netherlands had a ton of,
they scored on a sick goal for like outside, and then off a set piece, a beautiful header.
It's like the Czech Republic today. That goal by Schick today for the Czech Republic is literally like 0.01 expected goals on that shot, which is like completely insane that he makes that. I found that interesting. I would go the other. So on Netherlands, I kind of agree with you. I mean, I think their totals will be really large as we go through the tournament. An expectation in the rest of group play will be that they'll play these like open games with a lot of scoring opportunities. Maybe Ukraine the other two matches, maybe not so much. Maybe that's kind of how to play it necessarily. I'll be curious as we go. I think I agree with you. I left that match. My opinion of the Netherlands was pretty low entering that match. It did not change. And in a knockout round against a more quality side, you know, I think the opinion's the same, which is like when they get in a big spot against somebody better than them, what happens? And I would still not be very confident that they could win that match.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that at all. I want to see if Ukraine's defending is going to be better as we move along in this tournament, because like it really like could
that
not
was
be
a
worse.
Wild game. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen like in an international tournament where you never see open games like that. There's like first matches with a team that's like projected to win their group. I mean, you just never see that. Basically,
the second,
it's like very
the
rare.
Second yeah. half was incredibly entertaining. Like yeah. the best
the
45
first
minutes
was incredibly
of the
entertaining.
So far.
I mean, it went under. It was scoreless, but. I mean, I tweeted, I think it could have been 5-1 in the first 8 minutes. I think there were just posts and easy misses. And yeah, I mean, just a really, 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 really open game, which we don't normally see. So I think definitely a shock to the system. I don't think it makes me like the Netherlands anymore, though.
Ukraine -160 in their next match coming up on Thursday against North Macedonia. Total there is 2.5. North Macedonia did score in a 3-1 defeat on Sunday against Austria. What do you think of England beating Croatia 1-0? To me, Croatia looked like they're toast, like really missing Mario Mandzukic up front. And England only won 1-0. Like, it could have easily been like a 1-1 game with the way it turned out. I thought England played well overall. And big for Gareth Southgate and the Three Lions, I think, to get Raheem Sterling on the score sheet. He had not been in a good run of form for club or country, for Manchester City or for England. He scores the lone goal in the game. I feel like if you're an England backer, you got to feel pretty good about that performance. If you have anything on that, Ken, I can kind of move on.
Yep.
Like,
no, I do. I would just add... That coming into the tournament, when you and I did that big piece of analysis and previewed every match and gave our bets out, one of the guiding principles that led to a lot of the futures that I put in and how we were going to play matches, but also like to win Golden Boot and to win Young Player and everything, was that England have this tendency to play lower scoring games in these situations. Had the under in the match, won easily. The expected goals were among the lowest of any match in the tournament up to this point. And I think unders on England are going to be a thing. Obviously, they have just an insane amount of talent, but it just never seems to kind of translate into the statistics that you see post-match. So this was a thing in all of their qualification matches, generally lower scoring matches compared to a team like Belgium, where it's like, I think you want to have Lukaku to win most goals in the tournament. We're going to see France. We're going to talk about that match in a little bit. I think you want to have Mbappe, who scores like a goal per match for country, which is absolutely insane. That's not what England's going to do. I think they're going to win. It's going to be a lot of nervy, have the lead probably in a lot of these matches, but then kind of like shutter the windows, conservative, end up maybe in situations where they get a draw and they shouldn't have, like what kind of what happened against Croatia. So I think unders going forward. Doesn't mean I don't like England, but I will say also, like, when you put yourself in that situation over and over again, like, you're going to get to extra time about against somebody, and you're going to get to penalty kicks against somebody, and that's, you know, a flip of the coin, basically, and you obviously would prefer to not be in that spot.
We kind of disagreed on this in our analysis piece that we did last week. You were right on this one. I did not have the... I actually didn't bet the game, but I kind of feel like England's, like, ready to explode. Like, they're percolating to score a bunch of goals. Mason Mount, the Chelsea man, is, like... This is going to be a crazy statement. He's like, it's not quite like this. It's kind of like, because it's a wild statement what I'm doing.
Okay. All right.
He's kind of like the English Messi to a degree. He's not nearly as good.
That was crazy. Right,
He's not nearly as good. His passing is absolutely sublime. Like he is going to have a bunch of assists in this tournament. I think they're going to score goals based almost solely on what he does. And we saw he had the winning pass that split a couple defenders to Kai Havertz in the Champions League final for Chelsea when they beat Manchester City by the score of 1-0. Maybe we can get into a bunch of other stuff. We can do it as the games kind of approach. Okay, so let's go to tomorrow's games, Kevin. We'll save Germany and France here. So let's get the analysis first. And tomorrow, only two games to make up kind of like this is the last first wave of group stage games.
But they're
Italy,
awesome.
Turkey. But they're awesome. Italy, Turkey was obviously a standalone game. And yep. By the way, could Turkey have looked worse? I don't think so. Italy won that game 3-0. So only two games tomorrow. Then we get back to three games starting on Wednesday. So Portugal and Hungary. This game is in Budapest, so Hungary's the home team here. Hungary plus 600, draw plus 335. Cristiano Ronaldo and the Portuguese minus 225. The total sitting here, Ken, I'm seeing it 2.5. What have you got, if anything, for Portugal and Hungary?
It feels really weird to say this in a Portugal match, but just looking at all of the recent results for Hungary and what they tend to do in these situations, like I would actually think about, I don't have a bet on this match. I don't think I will. I think I would bet the over if I bet anything, which I know sounds crazy. Like Portugal plays generally in these international tournaments, scoreless draws, like against literally everybody. And it can generally be death to bet overs in their matches, except when they play Hungary and except when Hungary plays anybody who's qualified for the tournament. They've allowed goals and in a lot of cases, multiple goals to basically every team that's qualified over the last year. Any country you could possibly name, Portugal obviously will be able to create changes in the match. I don't really worry about that. And these teams obviously played a completely crazy game in the last Euro tournament as well. So had to bet the game would bet over. I think Portugal is completely correct to be favored by this margin. I would have them a heavy favorite as well.
I think Portugal will win the game. Here's what I want to do. I think Hungary are going to play. You could be right about the over in the game. I don't like Portugal's defense. I like a lot of their attacking players. Love Ronaldo, obviously. I don't love their defense here. I think Hungary's capable of scoring in this game, and I think Hungary's gonna play a really defensive game here. Like, Hungary, like, if Hungary lose this game, they are absolutely finished, because then you've got Germany and France coming up afterwards. So they are done. So they are going to be desperate here to grab at least a point, get some momentum going into the next couple games of this of the group stage here. So how I want to play this game, A, if I think Hungary can score, and B, I think this is going to be a game where they're going to park the bus for a lot of it. And given Portugal's kind of tournament history that we've seen play lower scoring games, I'm going to play Hungary plus 1 and plus 1.5.
Okay.
Minus 125. So Hungary plus 1 and plus 1.5 combined on the Asian handicap. It basically, like, if you put $100 on it, it'll split it into $50 on each. Yep. That's how it works. The bet gets split into two. And if it's one, you obviously you push. I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but anyway.
Yeah. If they lose by one, you push, but you would lose the other one. Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, the easiest way to say it is the first way you said it. Half of the amount of money goes on one outcome, half goes on the other. They're graded separately.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
So Hungary again, +1 and +1.5. My bet tomorrow, Portugal and Hungary. And Ken, the big one, the most anticipated game of the first wave of group stage games, Germany and France. Like, it actually really does not get better than this in the first round of a tournament. Germany +175, France +165, draw +210. So total sitting at 2 and 2.5. Now France is the quote unquote home team in this game, but this is being played in the Allianz Arena in Munich, where Bayern Munich plays. So Germany is actually the home team in this game. Ken, what have you got here? Germany and France, which should be an awesome affair, which unfortunately will be being played while we're on the air tomorrow.
Yeah, I was, I'll just be honest. I was really surprised. I know France is the World Cup champion. I know they bring a lot of new defensive pairing, right? Like Varane's still playing, but what, Kimpembe is the guy who's projected to start now alongside, but they're bringing a ton of the players that obviously participated in that World Cup. Based on where the match is played, like, I was actually kind of surprised that Germany wasn't like a slight favorite. Not that each team wouldn't have plus money to win the game outright on the three-way.
France has taken a lot of money as we've moved closer.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. I actually found that surprising, and I was aware of the steam too. And given that, like, my kind of note on the game is, like, wait as long as possible, bet Germany. That was, like, kind of where I stood on the game, basically. So
yeah,
it's not a byproduct of, like, some advanced modeling or whatever. It's just, They're hosting the game. Actually, I think France is better, but I don't think the margin between the teams is that great. I think Germany is a huge unknown going into the tournament. But I think that can work to their favor. And I think that actually is what leads to this market. Like, is there another year in the last, like, 15 years where this line would exist in the game in Germany? Like, this has to be the lowest this could ever be, given how dominant Germany's been for, like, two decades now, right? I mean, this has to be the absolute low point of the difference between the teams as it's measured by the market. I think that's really interesting. So I think it's Germany, you know, at the death, basically, right before kickoff, and see what the best number you can get is.
The Germans are my bet as well. Germany to win against France. And in doing so, Germany gets a small bit of revenge for France bouncing them out in the semifinals of Euro 2016. You know where that game was played, Ken? France. You know where this game's being played?
Not France.
Deutschland.
Yes.
Germany.
Really interesting. I fascinated.
Mannschaft.
Yeah.
And you know who's going to score tomorrow for Germany? Maybe it's your guy, Thomas Müller. Could be Thomas Müller. Gnabry. I'm feeling good about the Germans. I feel like Germany wins tomorrow. If I had to bet the total, I'd bet the over, because it's two really good offenses. And I don't know about these defenses, especially for Germany. So Germany and both teams to score, I think, worth a look as well. Okay, those are our Euro Cup bets and analysis from Monday into Tuesday. On the other side, we close the show out on a Monday. Kostos and Barkley. I guess we're playing the logo game. I didn't look at the rundown, so I guess we'll find out.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.